Okay, nice to see everybody. We are not really, I know it's like a parsha shiur, but there's not really a parsha this week. Because this week's Shavuos.
That's why I
I still give you a handout. Yeah, sorry. But there's no parsha, but there is a parsha.
There is a special parsha. Like last Shabbos, it was a special Haftorah.
There you go. So I figure what we'll do is, we will get ready for Shavuos. We'll talk a little bit about last week's parsha. We'll talk a little bit about this week's Shavuos. We don't always have an opportunity to prepare for the Yom Tovim the same way. So this is a really nice opportunity to do that. So let's try. Okay, well, I want to start by taking a look at the beginning of last week's parsha. Last week's parsha, which is also the intro to the Sefer we're in, so it counts like Bamidbar in general. So it's all good. Begins the Torah like this. Begins parsha Sefer Bamidbar. Vayidaber Hashem Moshev Marsnei Bo'al Moed. Be'achal lachodesh ha'sheni b'shana ha'shenis le'tzeitza meretz mitzvayim le'mor. So what Hashem spoke to Moshe in Midbar Sinai. What's Midbar Sinai?
In the desert.
The desert of Sinai. Why is it called the desert of Sinai?
It's a desert.
What's Sinai?
What a great question.
Matan Torah? Yeah, Sinai. It's where Har Sinai is. It's the desert surrounding Har Sinai. Midbar Sinai. Okay, so they're talking in Midbar Sinai, meaning they've already been at Sinai for a while, right? What year is it? When is it? Be'echad l'cholesh hasheni, the first day of the second month, b'shana hashenis, of the second year. So we're already in the second year of the desert. For the first day, it's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Iyar, we didn't call them that till Nisan Iyar. Stephen, these names don't come until Bavel, actually. But it's what we would call Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Okay? Rosh Chodesh Iyar in the second year after leaving Egypt. Okay? So, and what does he say? Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas b'nei Yisrael mishpachat Salve Sabasam b'mispar Shemos kol zechal gugulosam. He doesn't count every single Jew, the families, etc. And how do you count them? Who are you counting? Mi ben esim shana v'mala, the men 20 years old and older. Why the men 20 years old and older? Why are those the people you're counting? Because those are the soldiers, right? Count them so we know that tziv osam to their groups, everyone who needs to be counted to know what group they're going to be in, you and Aaron. And again, why are we counting at this stage? The first day of the second month of the second year. What are we doing next? What's the plan?
We're
going to
conquer. We're going to go into the land and conquer it.
Go into what land? Right, what about the 40 years? It's not supposed to happen yet.
Right.
It's not supposed to be 40 years in the desert. Right, we're ready to go. All right, we got the Torah. We messed up Egel Azav. Mm-hmm. We built the Mishkan. Hashem counts us and says, who's he counting? The soldiers. Why the soldiers? Time to go. Time to leave Midbar Sinai and head towards Eretz Yisrael. And he counts the soldiers to know what's the army going to look like. That's the goal of the counting. Okay, and how do I know? Rashbam says so. Source number two. Look at the Rashbam. Su'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael lefish me'ata tzrichim alechas al Eretz Yisrael. Because it's time to go to Eretz Yisrael. U'b'nei esrim ru'uyim latzeis batzava b'tzva milchama. And it's the 20-year-olds, right? In Eretz Yisrael now, it's 18, right? In the time of the Torah, it was 20. Well, that's when you went out, you were drafted to the army. Sharei be'eshim b'chodesh ha'sheni hazeh na'leh ha'anan, because on the 20th day, 19 days later after this, of this month, the anan lifts, k'dichsiv v'parshas b'haloscha, right? It's going to come up in a couple of weeks. Uksiv sham nosim anachnu el ha'makom, and they start to travel towards Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Hashem chooses to count them now. They're getting ready to leave Midbar Sinai and head to Eretz Yisrael. It's sort of sad, right? Because we like know the end of the story, like it's not going to happen. But that's the plan. Good? Okay. So there's a problem, but it's an interesting point. If you take a look in source number 3 and 4. Source number 3 is a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah, one of the things it does, besides talking about a lot of the halachos of Purim and a lot of explanations of the Megillas Esther, it also talks about a lot of the halachos that apply to Kriyas HaTorah. when we read, what we read in shul, when we read it, etc. A lot of that is found in Maseches Megillah. So at one point, you have another sheet for Susan? One of the things that the Gemara talks about is when we read different sections of the Torah and why we read them. So one of the rules is as follows. Source number 3. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said the following. Ezra tikein lehen leYisrael, shiu korin kololos shebetoras kohanim, kodem atzeres. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that Ezra made a takana. What was the takana? That we should read the kololos meaning the tochacha, right, what we read in Bechukosai, right? So we read Parashat Bechukosai always before, in Torah, which is in Torah's Kohanim, in Vayikra. We always read that before Atzeres, before Shavuos. Okay? We do that, but we don't really do that. We do read Bechukosai before Shavuos, but we do something else. What else do we read before Shavuos? We take one more week. Right? We read Bechukosai, and then we read Bamidbar. How do I know? Because source number 4, Tosus tells us that. Tosus writes, Umitam zeh, source number 4, Anu korin Bamidbar Sinai, Kodem Atzeres. What, so why do we do that? Why do we read Bamidbar? The rule Ezra made up was, you should always read the Klolos before, finish. We want to finish off the Klolos, right? We have this rule, we do the same thing for Rosh Hashanah. We want to get the Klolos out of the way before we start anew. Okay? So then why do we read Parshas Bamidbar? Right? Kedesh lo lahas mecha Klolos shebuchukos al Atzeres. Well, we don't want them too close. So we make a space. We read the Klolos, then we read Bamidbar, and then we have Shavuos. And this is what we always do, come out every single year. We read Bamidbar, and then we read Shavuos. So I'm asking an interesting point. Sefer Bamidbar opens, and what are we trying to get to leave? Which area are we leaving from?
Midbar Sinai.
Midbar Sinai. We're going to read on Shavuos morning about Bnei Yisrael's arrival somewhere. Where are they going to arrive to get the Torah? Midbar Sinai. Right? The same thing, except it's the wrong order, right? So we always read Bamidbar. Am Yisrael is like, see ya, we're out of here, Midbar Sinai, we're leaving Sinai. And that's the takana of Chazal, that we always, always, always read Bamidbar as the story of leaving Sinai just before the story of, and they're about to enter Sinai. It's kind of a funny thing to do. It's sort of bizarre. Right? Why would Chazal say, you can say it's all like, has nothing to do with that, it's just a bigger space. Okay, but it's kind of a funny thing, right? To have the story of leaving Sinai come always, sometimes the day before, right? We read the story of entering Sinai. And why would Chazal do that, right? Create that strange juxtaposition. Okay, that's question number one. Okay, fine. So, in order to answer the question, I want to tell you something totally different. And this is where we're going to get into a little bit of a machlokas in the Rishonim. Source number 5, we have a lot of places, right, where we tell the story of what happened in Har Sinai, but two main ones. The story happens in Parshas Yisro, where the story actually happens, and then again in Parshas V'aschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu retells the story, and that's why those are the two places in the Torah where you find the Eseres HaDibros. Right? One in Parshas Yisro, and one in V'aschanan. All good. All good, don't worry.
Sorry.
No problem.
Spam.
All good, don't worry about it. All good. So in Parshas V'aschanan, the Torah says as follows. Source number 5. It said, Devarim ha'ilah diber Hashem al kol kahachem bahar. These things Hashem told all of you at the har mitoch ha'ish, from within the fire, ha'anan v'arafel, right, from within the fire, in the cloud, all that stuff is going on there. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It was a, want someone to translate that? Kol gadol.
Kol big.
A big voice. Velo Yasaf. That's a hard one to translate.
Did not stop.
Ah, so it could mean did not stop. Lo Yasaf. It was a big voice that never stopped. Or?
Didn't gather,
right? La Sof is to gather in. So we're going to see there.
Nothing more?
We're going to see Machalokas in the Rishonim how to explain this language, okay? So Kol Gadol Velo Yasaf. It's not so easy to explain, right? And then Hashem, and Moshe says, and Hashem then wrote them down on two luchos, and he gave them to me. Fine. But there's a machlokas, there's a dispute in the Rishonim. How do you understand this phrase? That Hashem spoke at our Sinai, kol gadol, a big voice, v'lo yasaf, and it didn't something. Take a look at the Rashba, verse number 6. Rashbam is verse number 6, who is our Zara, right? We love the Rashbam. Right? Always tells us simple pshat. V'lo yasaf, shuv lo nosaf, kol gadol kazeh ba'olam. Right? What's a simple pshat? Yasaf milashon lehosif. Right? To add. So it's a kol gadol v'lo yasaf means it will not be at, meaning it happened once and it won't ever happen again, which, by the way, is a pretty reasonable thing to say about this voice of Hashem in Har Sinai. It was a one-time experience. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It was an amazing experience, which will never happen again. Right? And that's what the Rashbam says. Ki kol yasaf lashon tosefet. Right? Yasaf lahosif. To add on. Right? Im yasfim anachnu. Avasafu tamu min blahos migizras haaf tispet sadikim rasha. Right? Things are going to be, never going to continue. Fine. So simple pshat according to Rashbam is Hashem spoke this in a way that was unique and unusual that you'll never hear again. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. Good. The Ramban says, not so fast. Take a look at source number 7. Kol gadol v'lo yasaf. Mitargeminan. Mitargeminan means the targum, right? Meaning unglus. Says, what does it mean? Lo yasaf v'lo pasak. It did not stop. It was a big voice that has never stopped. Okay, why? The fishamidas baser adam, a human being, in nicholon daber divrayim benishim achas. Right, a human being can't just speak at once and everything comes out all at once. It's impossible. Right, we speak and then we stop. We speak and then we stop. Right, umidas akadosh baruch hu enochein. The midah of Hashem is not like that. That's not the midah of Hashem.
Pretty cool, huh?
That is
yeah.
So. We're super, super, super cool.
We
should
get it on an app
one. I know, right? We should probably. But it's very cool we can do that. Mm-hmm. At least, otherwise, somebody should be standing there knocking. Yeah, right. We got it from Minyan. Because people are in davening and someone comes late and they can't get in. And so, anyways. Fine. So, Umidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ain't okay, Hashem's not like that. Lo haya posek. He never stopped. Umishalo haya posek, lo haya mosif. Meaning, the language lo yasaf is... Layasaf means, right, it doesn't continue, right? So the language doesn't continue, should mean it's one time, it'll never stop, it'll never continue. But the Ramban's explaining, based on the Targum, Layasaf means Hashem will not have to add to it anymore. I mean, it's not like Hashem's going to keep speaking over and over again. Why? Because he doesn't have to. It's a little hard to, right? The word still means the same thing. Hashem will speak once and not ever speak again. But the not ever speaking again doesn't mean that you won't can't be heard anymore. It means that it just continues. Hashem is right. Hashem is above time. So Hashem can speak once and it will last forever. Right? So it's lo yasaf. Hashem doesn't have to add on to it because it'll just stay there forever. Okay? Right, loya posik, he didn't stop. Umishalo haya posik, loya mosif, he didn't have to end to it either. Lefisha kolo chazak v'kayam lo'olam. Right, because Hashem's voice, right, is chazak and continues forever. Continues forever. Right, and that's where he says, v'anachon ki ha'omer lo pasak. And he thinks the real pshat is, it'll never stop. Okay. So now, and Rashi, in source number 8, he just brings both. He brings both, as Rashi will want to do. Both pshatim, either kol gadol v'lo yasaf, or kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It's a one-time thing, it'll never stop. Or no, it's a one-time thing. One-time thing, it'll never happen again. Or no, it's a one-time thing, and therefore it just continues forever. So that's the question. So which one is it? What is this all about? What's this machlokas all about? What does this mean? How do we understand that? The voice of Hashem that continues forever? I don't hear it right now. Does anybody? If you go into the Midbar Sinai, I don't think you're going to hear it. Right? So what does that mean? What does that mean that Hashem's voice is called, and was there a machlokas about it? What does that mean? We don't know. Which one it is? How does that work? So I have a pshat that I think is a nice pshat. I don't think it's the pshat, but it's a nice pshat. I found that I had this in my notes from a long time ago, and I don't see that I quoted it from somebody else. So I don't know. Maybe I made it up. I'd be surprised that I made it up, but maybe I made it up. I'd like to tell you who I got it from, but I don't know who I got it from. So I don't know. Maybe I made it up. I don't think I did. But what's interesting is that Shavuos, and this is not in your sources, Shavuos, and maybe this is the pshat in this point, but then we'll put it all together, hopefully. Shavuos it's surrounded by two individuals. There are two people associated with, besides Moshe Rabbeinu. There's two individuals who maybe we would talk about related to Shavuos. Who are the people?
Rus
and Boaz. Okay, good. Rus is like one of the foundational people. There's no other Megillah, I guess Esther. There's no other Megillah associated with a Yontif, where like the personality of that, right, as much as Rus. Rus is like right up to every shiur on Shavuos. Every other shiur is about Rus, right? Rus is a very dynamic personality. We really like, people really take to Rus. Rus is a very important person in the story of Shavuos. Good. There's another person actually who is similar to Rus, but doesn't get as much talked about. But we read the parsha with his name in it on Shavuos, and that is Yisro, right? And Rus and Yisro are if you don't think about it usually, they're actually very connected to each other. First of all, their names have almost all the same letters, right? The name Rus, Resh Vav Tav, is Yisro, just without the Yod, switched around. It's almost the same word. They're both non-Jews who come and connect with the Jewish community in some way, right? They're both have very high positions in the non-Jewish world where they come from, right? Yisro is a Kohen Midian, Rus is a princess of Moab, right? And in a certain sense, they're the same, that they both come close to Judaism, but there's a very, very important distinction that's not exactly the same thing, but the two of them. Right? How are Rus and Yisro different in their relationship with Judaism? What would you say? So Yisro shows up on his own. He like arrives in the Jewish community and he like wants very badly to kind of join us in a certain sense. How are you? Don't be sorry. So great to see you. Yisro very badly wants to like join and be a part of the Jewish community, but he wants that very badly. But in the end of the day, Moshe says, okay, so come with us. And he's like, nah, it's okay, I'm going to go back to Midian. And he goes back.
Right? He took Moshe's children back with him, didn't
he? Well, he brings them back eventually. And Yisro's a good guy. I'm not here to bash Yisro. But Yisro shows up, he joins the kind of a machlokos, whether Yisro converts or not. But it's not, he doesn't have staying power in the Jewish community. He comes, and then he leaves. Rus, sort of like, I wouldn't say accidentally, but she's not like, doesn't start becoming close to Judaism because she really wants to be Jewish. She starts because like, there's a Jewish guy who wants to marry her even though she's not Jewish. And they get married and they live outside of Eretz Yisrael. And it's not until everyone, the whole family passes away, all the men, that she sticks with Naomi. And then she's like, all in, mamish, right? Once she's in, Rus though, she is in. Right? And she, amechami, elokai, she's not going anywhere. Right? And I find it interesting because like it's almost as if, you know, in a certain sense, like they each have their opportunity to hear the Kol Gadol. Right? They each get connected to Judaism. Yisro, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro hears something about the Jewish people, and that's why he comes. Rus doesn't really hear as much something big, but she's connected. She's a Kol Gadol of like her experience with Naomi. But they make two different choices. Right? Yisro walks away. Sort of like in the same way that Orpah walks away, right? She kind of kisses her goodbye. She kisses him and she leaves. And Rus says, "No, I'm in. And once I'm in, I'm not leaving. I'm not walking away. Even though it's pretty difficult for her. It's not going to be an easy life for her, right? So it works out in the end for her with Boaz, right? But she doesn't have that guarantee when she decides to get in. And it's going to be a very hard life for her. But nevertheless, Rus hears the Kol Gadol and it's Veloy Asaf, right? It never stops. It stays with her. Yisro hears the Kol Gadol, and it's one time, and then he's out of there, right? And I wonder a little bit if the Torah is, you know, or Chazal are kind of like hinting to us. It's a machlokes, Kol Gadol v'lo yasaf. Yeah, why? Who's it depend on? Depends on you, right? What's that Kol Gadol going to mean for us? And maybe, perhaps we read the story that's found within Yisro, and we read the story of Rus, both on Shavuos. And we're asked the question, which one would you like? Right? Do you want that Kol Gadol to be Levelo Yasaf? It's one time, it's an experience, see it and see ya, like Yisro, right? Or is it going to be a Kol Gadol Levelo Yasaf, a Kol Gadol that makes me decide to stay, right, and to get involved and to push and to be part of that. And I think it actually this idea also comes out in one other place, actually in Parshas Yisro. Before I tell you, I'll tell you a story. I tell a story that there were once in the Beis Medrash of the Sfas Emes, and the Sfas Emes said, before Yontif, if you have a lot of kavana in the Ana of Hallel, the word Ana, so then you'll have a lot of Atzlach Hashem, it'll work out for you. So it became a big machlokas in the Beis Medrash. Did the Sfas Emes mean, did the Rebbe mean Ana Hashem Oshiana? Or did he mean Ana Hashem Hatzlichana? Which one should you have kavana for? And they're fighting, the Chazina, which one is more important? And the Imre Emes, the grandson of Sfas Emes, said, he goes, Chavir, got it all wrong. He wasn't talking about either of those. He was talking about Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. Right? Hashem, I'm going to be your Eved. Have kavana on that one, and you'll be okay. So as Am Yisrael gets to Har Sinai, so let's go back. Now we're back, walking into Har Sinai. So you walk into Har Sinai, what happens? So look at source number 9. So Hashem, I don't know, maybe a couple years ago we talked about the Perek Yud Tes, which is the precursor to the actual story of the Seretz Dibros, right? Like what happened before that. So before that story, before they actually get the Seretz Dibros, so Hashem has a conversation with Moshe, a pregame before they're actually going to get the Torah. So this is source number 9. So what does Hashem say? Moshe says something very important. Moshe goes up to Hashem. When Hashem calls out to him, and he says, "Ko tomar lebeit Yaakov, v'sagei lebnei Yisrael." Say the following to the Beis Yaakov and the following to Bnei Yisrael. This is where we get this is like the men and the women. Beis Yaakov is the women. Bnei Yisrael is the men. That's why Beis Yaakov becomes Beis Yaakov for girls. Because again, Beis Yaakov is for the women and Bnei Yisrael the men. And what is the thing he's supposed to say? Sageid the Bnei Yisrael. Sageid is a very strong way to speak. So Rashi there quotes Chazal. And he says, why does he say the language V'sageid the Bnei Yisrael? What does that mean? So it says Rashi, Onshin V'diktukin Peirash Zecharim. Tell the men about the punishments and the hard stuff. And then he writes, Devarim Hakashin Kigidin. Things that are as strong and like difficult as sinews or ligaments. Gidim, a gid is a the gidanosha, right? It's a ligament in the body. So allow the Farshim ask. I wanted to choose something that's like really strong. I don't know, Cushion Kib Barzel. You know, iron. Tell me things that are hard like wood. Why are you giving me an example of things that are hard like ligaments? Why is that the example? It's like weird.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to see. Oh, good. So we're going to have to see. So ligaments are not just strong, they're also flexible. So we're going to see in a second. So I want to show you this phrase. This is a phrase which you probably have heard it said out loud, said outside before. Maybe you've heard it before, but you may not have ever read it inside. And take a look at this Sifrei. Sifrei starts from 11. So this is a Sifrei in Parashat Bezos HaBracha that tells the following story. Kishenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litein Torah LeYisrael. Hashem came to give the Torah to Yisrael. Lo Al Yisrael Bilvad Hu Nigla. He did not come only to Am Yisrael. Ela Al Kol HaUmos. You heard this before, right? We sing this story when we're in elementary school, right? He came to all the Umos Olam. But it's like a song also that kids sing. But this story, it's a Sifrei, it's a Medrash. Techila halach Eitzel b'nei Esav. First they came to Esav. Amar lahem. Mekam lahem as a Torah, accept the Torah. Amar lo. What do they say back? Mak hasuv ba. What's in it? Amar lahem. Lo tirtzach. You can't kill. Amru. Kol atzmam sha'osam ha'anashim v'aviyem rotzeachu. Okay, listen. Pay attention to the language. This is our fundamental midah. We murder. It's a pretty terrible thing to say about yourself. What do you mean? That's who we are, right? Esav, right? Edom. That's murder. Shene'amar v'yedai midei Esav. V'achar b'chatich. That's who we are. Can't do that. Sorry. Halach etzav b'nei Amon. So he comes to Amon. Am lahem. Mekab metem esetor. You want the Torah? Am lo. Makasuv. What's in it? Am lahem. Lo sinaf. Don't commit adultery. What do you mean? That's who we are. Right? How is Amon created? Amon is created from Lot and his daughter. Right? It's created from these types of incestuous relationships. Right. So that's who we are. We come from that. Okay. So we don't want it. Halach etz b'nei Yishmael. Goes to Yishmael. Amalem, Tem, I said, you want the Torah? Amalem, Amrlo. Makasuba, what's in it? Amalem. Lo signa, if you can't steal. Amrlo. Ko atzma raviyem. List them, I mean, that's who we are. Right? Because it says about Yishmael, Vuyeh per Adam. He's going to be a wild person. Fine. So he goes to every single nation. He asks every one of them. They all say, what's in it? And he describes it to them. And they say, well, that's our nature. That's who we are. We can't possibly change that. We don't. So it's like 1,000 pshatim. This is every, you know, rabbi's drasha on Shavuos morning. You know, how to explain this medrash. So what does this mean? So I once heard a very, very nice kasha, right? And the Chafetz Chaim once asked, he said, I don't understand. The Yibam Shalom was asking to want the Torah. So he and each one of them, they said, what's in it? Could have said like, sukkis. And it says, there's a lot of things in the Torah. And he chooses clearly for each ummah, obviously Chazal create this story for us, right? But he chooses for each ummah, each nation, the thing that is the hardest for them. Right? So why does he specifically go after each one of them? He says, oh, Esav, you guys love to kill. It says don't kill. So you could say, oh, because it's a bait and switch. He doesn't really want them to get the Torah. He's just like faking it, right? But there's something going on here that each one, he asks them the thing that is the hardest for them. Like, what's the pshat? So, the Chafetz Chaim says, that's exactly the point. Right? What he's trying to explain to them, right? When the Jews don't say Makos, right? The Jews don't say Makosubo, the Jews say, Na'aseh v'nishma. We're not going to ask, right? That's what this whole story is really about. We never ask Makosubo. We never ask, it's okay. We never ask, no problem. We never ask, what's in it? We just, right? We just Na'aseh v'nishma. But the point is that our allegiance to Torah mitzvos, what Hashem's going to say, what Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to explain, what Chazal are bringing in, is it's going to be bedafka, right? It's easy to love Judaism when it's gishmak and it's nice and it's heartwarming and it's beautiful and it's great. I've told you the story before, right? The Yaakov Ben Hillel's story about the guy. He's on the plane and he's sitting next to some like evangelical Christian. And he says, like, are you? He's like learning. He's like, oh, are you Jewish? He's like, yeah. He's like, you have Shabbos, the Sabbath. He's like, with the mom lights the candles and all the children are sinned with her. And then they have a beautiful meal and everyone gets along and it's beautiful. And he's like, yeah, we have that. You know, like it's easy when it's amazing, right? It's easy on Yom HaTzmaut. It's easy on, right? In those like moments, right? When it's beautiful. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. It's great, right? But those are not the moments that determine our commitment to Judaism. Right? The moments that determine our commitment to Judaism are the moments when it's really hard. It's the phone calls, someone, you know, calls me like, I have the following thing in my family and I have to do this thing, but the halacha says I can, and like, well, how am I going to navigate that? And like, what's that going to look like? And how do I maintain my values while also keeping Shalom Bayit? These are like, those are the hard moments, right? When a person says, I'm going to ask a Shaila and figure out what to do in a really hard spot where it's really hard. Right? Or a person says, I'm going to not do X, or Y, or Z that I really want to do because the halacha says no. Right? And like, it's in those moments that like, we really, I'm gonna share with you a story that I'll tell you personally. That was a hard moment for me. This happened once to me a while ago. If you have had little children or have little children, so you know that sometimes they get sick. And when they get sick, if they have a stomach virus, they tend to not know when they're going to, I'm not sharing the gory details, but right when they throw up. Okay? So that happens sometimes to little kids. Happens to adults too, but they usually get to the bathroom in time. So, but for some reason, some people's children, they tend to get sick on Shabbos. Friday night. We don't have to go on, we don't have to give a shiur on the whole Shiloh tonight. What happens when a kid throws up on the rug in your living room on Friday night? Okay? We won't get into the whole Shiloh. It's complicated Shiloh, but we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. In terms of cleaning that up. Okay? Why? That's like so silly. Why am I bringing this example? It's actually really big nisayon. It's really hard. Okay, you do smell, fine. But like, it happened to me once, and I spent a long time looking up the Shaila, and I felt really sad after I had read the Shaila, got my answer about what I did, some things I could do. I won't get into the whole details, but I'll save you. You don't want to throw up. So, but like, but it's silly, but it's not silly. It's expensive and it's hard, and you're like, in that moment, that's like a real test of your Yirat Shamayim. Like, this is gross and hard, and like, okay, so what are you going to do with it? You'll figure it out. But like, those types of moments, that's like a silly moment, but it's not silly. Because that's the moment. It's 9 o'clock at night, and like, who's going to know? And I'll just do what I got to do. And right? And in that moment, when I like say, I find out what the din is, I do the things that I can do, and I don't do the things that I can't do, and I'm risking, like, maybe it's ruined. Right? That's like a really hard shayla. Right? And that's a really hard moment for a person. Right? To, and that, says the Chafetz Chaim, is what that moment is that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Umos Olam, L'tirtzach, how's that for you? And they're like, oh, I can't do that. That's too much. I can't do that. But I said so. They're like, then we can't do this. And Am Yisrael said, we are in. Yeah, but it's going to be really hard. You're going to have these hard moments. The silly ones and the not so silly ones. And they'd be really difficult. And there's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of challenge. And what are you going to do? And the answer is, Na'aseh v'nishma. That's hard. But that's meaning. That's what it means to be committed. Right? And so I saw also, Reuven Lechter says, this is the pshat in the Dvarim HaKashim Kegidin. What's sinews? So sinews have two pieces, two ligaments, have two things to them. On the one hand, right, a ligament, not to get more gross, if you, like, I don't know, no one wants to eat the Gilanasha, but like, it doesn't taste very good. Right? Ligaments are bland, they don't have any taste. You get rid of them when you eat, right? They have no taste at all. They're tasteless, right? In fact, halachically, if a gid falls into, like it's from a non-kosher animal, falls into a pot, it has no tam. It doesn't even cause a kashrus problem because it has no tam at all, okay? At the same time, without ligaments and tendons, the entire skeleton body would never stand. They're not the strongest, right? They're not muscles, but without them, the body, the skeleton would not be able to maintain itself. It would fall apart, right? So he says, that's the pshat. Again, Klai Yisrael are about to experience this moment, right? This experience. And Hashem says, I just want you to understand me for a second. This flash in the pan of excitement, right? That's great. It's like fun. That's exciting. That's like, wow. But that's going to go away, right? The Kol Gadol will be Lo Yasaf. It'll still be there, but it's gonna fade a little, right? And then what are you going to do? And then how's it going to play out, right? So he says he prepares this ahead of time. Right? It's not always inspiring, exciting, and positive. Sometimes it's really hard. Sometimes it's a challenge. But in those moments, when you have the times which have no time, which don't taste so good, the times that taste bitter, the times that are difficult, and you stick with it, you allow the whole thing to stand. You allow the whole thing to maintain itself. And it's when you push through in those, again, it shouldn't always be hard. If it's always hard and always bad and always, then there's something wrong. It shouldn't always be like that. That's not, we don't want it to be always a grind. But a grind happens sometimes, and like in 2023, the moment something's a grind and hard, we're out. Right? That's why it's harder and harder and harder to teach this stuff to our kids. Right? Because they're used to, if it's not good, swipe. Just swipe left. Or swipe right, or whatever you do. I don't know. Swipe up. Right? Just get rid of it. It's hard. So I'm done. The number of people, the amount of months people stay in their jobs now has dropped dramatically, right? Because millennials, right? And then generation, what are they called? Z, X, whatever they are, right? They're like, well, I don't like it, I'm out. I'll leave, I'll go to find a different job, right? I'll stay for 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, stay in a job for 30 years. Doesn't happen. Nobody does that anymore, right? I'm out. I don't like it, I'm out. And the message, right, of Dvarim HaKashim Gigidim is no. That's not how it's going to work. And the actual value and meaning and all, I mean, in the inspiration in the long term comes from sticking out to the parts that have no time, the parts that are difficult, the parts that are hard. Right? And if Asher White says, that's the pshat in the story of the Sfas Emes. The story of the Sfas Emes and the Chassidim, when they say, Ana Hashem Roshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, the Ana is Aleph Nun Aleph, which is a plea. Hashem, please do it for me. Ana Hashem Roshiyana, Hashem, I'm going to sit here, just take care of it. Take care of it. Ana Hashem Kani Avtecha Anas Aleph Min Hey, which is the language of thank you. It's thanking Hashem for the opportunity to work hard. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the chance to be a person who's going to invest and going to see the fruits of that labor. So this Sasan was saying to the Hasidim is that the whole thing mixed up. And it's not Hashem, take care of it. Of course, being someone's need Hashem, and we can't do anything, but all we can do is daven. But a lot of the time, there are things we can do. And Ana Hashem Kani Avtecha is thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity to be an Eved. And an Eved means I do things that I like and I find meaningful, hopefully. And there are also things that are hard. But when I stick through the things that are hard, that's when it really has value. Okay, with all of this, I think we can explain why we first tell the story of leaving Shavuos before we tell the story of leaving Sinai and Bamidbar, before we tell the story of coming to Sinai. Because as we get ready to come to Sinai, we have to already have in mind what we're going to do, what's our mindset going to be when we leave. If we walk in and we know, okay, what am I here for? What's this about? What is Shavuos about? It's not about listening to 7 shiurim till 5 in the morning. That's nice for some people. You know, some of us do that. That's great. That's not, Shavuos is not only about learning. It is about, it's exciting. There's a lot of learning. There's a lot of shiurim. There's extra stuff. I think it's amazing. The excitement and the exuberance for learning on Shavuos is awesome. Some people can do that. And some people don't have the time for that. They're not able to. And whatever it is. Every person figures out their thing. But what it's really about is figuring out what is my place in that moment of Sinai. And how do I make sure that Kol Gadol is Lo Yasaf, that it doesn't end. Right? That I find myself some type of commitment to the world of Torah, whether that's to Torah learning and to other things, something within Avodas Hashem that will stick with me, and that I stick with it even through the times that are harder. Because when I make that commitment and I stick with it, then it'll stay, and then it'll last, and then it'll be meaningful, and then that'll be what Avodas Hashem is really all about. And then again, in the end of the day, by the way, when you stick through the hard stuff, it leaves you with the overall, that the greater sense of simcha, right? Not the fun and the happy, but the meaning is actually, it increases even more.
Because you feel good about yourself.
You feel good about it. You feel good about it. It's true of everything, right? Anything that takes time and energy and is hard work is hard. But at the end, if it has meaning to it, and we believe that it does, then it leaves us feeling better. It's lo yasaf, right? That feeling stays. We walk out of a shir, hopefully, if it's a good one, and you leave with a feeling that like sticks with you for a little while, right? If you walk out of an amusement park ride, so that's fun for a minute, and then it's over, right? All the time in Galamaz is like that. So it's fun for a minute, and then it's over, right? Every a good meal or whatever it is, you feel good, and then you feel not so good, right? But a spiritual experience feels good, and it stays. It's not the same type of peak, but it stays in a much more meaningful way. Yeah.
Well, I would go beyond not just that it feels good, but the whole
point
that it's
transformative. So that's why it lasts forever, because you've transformed.
You've changed.
That's why, you know, like the whole Yaakov being like
a
Messenger, like
his struggle with the
Malach,
like that's, he's different now.
In fact,
new name.
In fact, that's the lashon of Yisrael. What does it mean to be Yisrael? Right. I struggle. To be Yisrael means to say, I fight, I work hard, even when it's hard. That's what it's the fundamental nature of Am Yisrael. Is that it means, and it's the history of Am Yisrael. The history of Am Yisrael is that we stick it out in the hard times. Right? That's the history. That's what we always talk about. We're complainers, and we're stubborn. We're stubborn. And that's what works for us. We're Am Kshei Oref. And at the end of the day, that's what gives us staying power. That we stick it out even when it's hard. You know, it's a hard lesson to teach kids. It's a hard lesson to transmit, and it's a lesson that's only transmitted if we do it. Because if we do it, then hopefully they see, and then maybe we hope they grab it too. But when we model that struggle, and we talk about the struggle, and we talk about both the good feelings and the struggle, we hope that Bezat Hashem, we pass it on to the next generation too. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Have a wonderful.